Well, good morning. Underneath my outside face, there's a face that none can see. A little less smiley, a little less sure, but a whole lot more like me. It's a piece from Shel Silverstein. Good morning. It's a privilege to be here. I am kind of in awe still of the privilege and the responsibility that you give me. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm new enough behind the podium that it still blows me away that you trust us to bring you what God has shown us through the week and to sit expectantly waiting for God's word to be opened. So thank you. Thank you for being here. I have felt a need to talk a bit about pain this morning. My brother may tell you it's because I grew up being such a pain that I have a great understanding of what it is, but I don't think that's just it. What do you do with pain? Where do you go with your ugly feelings? Hey, before I get too much further, Ernie, do you mind at the end? I'd like to, I think it's song number 396 in Faith and Praise, just the chorus of that, if you don't mind at the end. The song we sang this morning, Nelson, thanks for leading it. No, not one. If you've been sitting for a bit, do you mind standing for the reading of the Lord's Word? Psalm 34 is where we're going. You can open your Bibles or your apps to Psalm 34. And I think we'll start at verse 11. The verse I want to focus on is verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. But we'll start at verse 11 of Psalm 34 this morning. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are near to those who are brokenhearted. Those who have brokenness. That's why you have come to this earth to redeem, to save, and to heal. We thank you for who you are, Lord, in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Recently, I think we all deal with pain on different levels. This morning, the sharing time, it was valuable. We're all facing some pain, and I want to be really careful this morning that I don't come across as teaching or preaching that pain is somehow just a small thing, or to be flippant with the idea. We deal with pain. Some of us deal with physical pain. Some of us are dealing with emotional pain. There's loss. There's wrong, and I don't want to glaze over it as if it's nothing. But I find that in the middle of things going wrong, God is still present. And so I want to spend some time this morning focusing on that. I recently read a book with a group of my seventh graders called Bruiser. It's a Neil Schusterman book. I don't know that I recommend it. It was part of our curriculum. But it's a science fiction book about a boy who absorbs the pain of the people around him. And it's called Bruiser because he picks up the bruises from everybody he loves. And the book kind of goes through the journey of people around him really appreciating the fact that whenever they're around the boy named Brewster Rollins, they feel better. They feel a bit happier. Their problems kind of go away, and of course their physical bruises go away. And they live just kind of peacefully. But the turning point of the book is when they realize, especially the boy and the girl that live in the house with him, realize that without feeling their own pain, they're not really living. They're not really connecting with the joyful things either. They need the depth of emotion that Brewster is taking away from them in order to experience life fully. And fine, it's a book review. You're welcome to go check it out sometime. But I find that it's true in the Christian walk as well. I notice in verse 17 of the psalm that we just read, it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles." I get a little weary of the idea that if you just get it right with the Lord, you won't have any problems. I don't find that to be scriptural. That if you're truly walking with the Lord, you won't have pain. He saves you from that. I don't find that to be scriptural either. How can the Lord save you from your pain? How can the righteous cry out and the Lord hears if they're not going through any trouble, right? He delivers them out of their troubles, yes, but they were in trouble. There was a problem. They were having pain. Pain is important. It's powerful. It's a teacher. How many times have you been out enjoying the wonderful outdoors? This is June, almost. We should be outside. And you're sitting there enjoying the evening or the morning, and all of a sudden you say, "Ouch!" because something got your arm. And there's a bug there. You, depending on your persuasion, you may chase it away or smash it. I don't know what you are. But, yes, I would smash it too. No lie, I had a friend in college that would chase the bugs away. I said, "That's a bad idea." Anyway, the pain is there to let you know that you should get rid of the bug, right? It's a teacher. I would like to spend some time today talking about the fact that pain is maybe what happens to you. Rumination is what you do after the pain. Pain makes you say, "That hurt." Rumination makes you say, "Let me replay that again." I think that if I can ask us today to learn from our pain, to grow through our pain, but not to sit there stewing in our pain. Rumination does not include reflection or learning. It's just playing the same thoughts with no new information or no new insight. Are you familiar with the polyvagal theory? The polyvagal autonomic emotional ladder. It works with transitions from the dorsal vagal area at the bottom where I can't cope. I'm collapsed, I'm shut down, up through the sympathetic sympathetic mode would be where you're saying, "I'm in danger, I need to either fight or flee," up to the ventral vagal where I feel connected and I can do something for the world. So the polyvagal theory on emotional intelligence or emotional movement has to do with your body, your personality, your person experiences problems, and you can be trapped at the low end saying, I'm trapped. As you move up, you may say, I need to do something about this, but I'm in trouble. I've got to either fight or run away. And then as we move up the ladder to, I can connect with the greater world. I can serve. I can help. And on a psychological mode, I would want to, you always want to move up the ladder to grow. Rumination on our pain keeps us locked into that sympathetic space or mode where your brain thinks. Brain science would show that as you ruminate and revisit painful experiences and problems, your brain thinks the danger is still present. It flushes you with the same hormones. Your body stays tense. Your emotions stay raw. And thinking becomes worse, not better. Pain isn't the assignment. Growth is. I don't want to be, I really don't want to make light of pain. I work with kids. You do too. I work with people who go through pain. I wanted to share this one. I ask my students, in the context of that poem that we read at the beginning, can you hide your emotions and how you truly feel? And I had them either cite evidence from the text or from their own experience. This one wrote back, yes, I can hide my emotions because I grew up hiding my emotions. She's 13. Because when I was living with my bio father, he would hit me and my sister, and my half-biological brother. And if we showed any emotions at home or at school, he would beat us with his belt so bad that we wouldn't be able to go to school. We deal with pain. Pain is real. Some of the pain is our fault, perhaps. Some of the pain has nothing to do with us. This little girl still has a lot that she works with. Now, I did chase this one down pretty carefully, and the guidance office worked with her too. She's not in that situation anymore. She's in a much safer place, and she is receiving the help that she needs. She's actually doing quite well, but pain is real. Some of us deal with situations where we're scared of the people around us, or things have gone wrong for us, work-wise, or health-wise, or relationship-wise. Pain is not the assignment. Growth is. Healthy meaning-making allows you to revisit a memory just long enough to learn something, but not stay there. I think that way too often I'm really guilty of going through something traumatic or painful and then just locking up there emotionally and failing to take it to the Lord or failing to take it to a healthier place. I find it important to learn and to grow. We're invited to learn and to grow. To revisit a memory, to simply stew on the feelings doesn't help. But to go back through a memory, to learn something and what we can change does help. It leads us to action. But once you've got the lesson, it's all right to stop digging. Brain science has discovered that about 50%, now catch this, about 50% of our memories aren't even true. Memories change over time, and the more times they're replayed, the more likely they are to get worse. It has to do with our brain's negativity bias. It's how people can be in the exact same situation and have very different memories of it. Have you ever heard two reports of a car accident? Two people can see the same thing happen and not report the same thing happening. It's because our brains do play some tricks on us. Sorry, it's just a reality. I do have a piece of equipment up here. I want to ask if you know what it is, but I need an answer from someone over the age of 40 because it's a fairly high-tech device that you may, younger, may not have seen. What is this? What is this? If you're over the age of 40, what is this? Yeah, God, it's a bobber. It's not that high-tech. I'm sorry. Leroy, you know what that is too, don't you? Okay, what's it for? When you're fishing, there, I gave it away. When you're fishing, what's it for? Is this the goal? This is what you're after? Like this is the prize? It tells you if something's going on, right? And you don't really need to take these home, but you should. But the fish that's on the hook is what you do want to take home, right? And I would pose that pain is a bit like that bobber. It's an indicator. We are invited to take it to the Lord. So pain hurts. But pain isn't the point. Pain really stinks. And we've all got it. But what we do with that is the goal. That's where the learning happens. So I don't know if you want to go to 1 Peter 5. You're welcome to. I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through maybe 8. The elders who are among you, I exhort you, I'm a fellow leader, fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So, Peter's talking here first, giving some instructions to the church. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So some instructions on how the church should flow. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Another translation says, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and honor, dominion forever. Amen. We are invited to function within the body. There's some instructions here on how the church should flow. But what I want to focus in on is verse 7. Casting all your cares or your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. There's the invitation. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus is instructing the people, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Him is rest. Verse 28 of Matthew 11, 28 and 29, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am lowly in heart, and will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I find that my largest stress is trying to solve my problems. I want the answers. I want to make it right. I want to make my details work out right. I want a lot of things. And it produces a lot of anxiety in Chad. We're invited to throw that at the foot of the cross, to give it to Jesus, and He promises to carry us. Psalm 55, verse 22, is another instruction. We have a lot of invitations here to give our pain. Psalm 55, 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. Psalm 55, verses 20 through 22, is what I want to highlight today. "He has put forth His hands against those," "He has put forth His hands against those who were at peace with Him. He has broken His covenant. The words of His mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in His heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." The psalmist is talking about bad people around him, the problems going on. He's feeling like it's not fair. And then he invites, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." We have some posters here at the front of our sanctuary, and they're good reminders. Here we have reminding us that nothing can separate us from the Lord, and here we have a reminder of how the Lord came to be with us. We're invited to cast our burdens on one who is not far from us. But that journey often looks like a path to the foot of the cross. We're invited not to be anxious. We're invited not to be frantic. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." We are invited to give our problems to the Lord. Whether it's pain done to us on purpose or by accident, whether it's pain that we're feeling in our bodies, physically, mentally, or emotionally, the Lord cares. We're invited to cast those problems on the Lord, to give them to Him, and then to be anxious about nothing. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. My ask this morning is that we take it to the Lord. It's the power of the pause. When something goes wrong, when someone is hurting me, when someone is confronting me, I can rise up inside and I ask that you pause. Maybe you need to take a minute and ask yourself what's actually going on. What am I feeling? What do I need right now? Do I need comfort? Do I need security? Do I need somebody to watch out for me? What do I need right now? And take that need to the Lord. Sometimes we put those burdens on the people around us. We're in the middle of our trauma or our trouble and we need you to fix it for me. And that doesn't work out, right? If I need you to take care of my emotional problems, that's actually giving you more power in my life than I want you to have. If I can't be happy unless you make me happy, well, that's putting an awful lot of pressure on you, and it's giving you a lot more responsibility than I want you to have. For me to pause and acknowledge, He's not making me happy right now. Lord, I need you to fill this vacancy in my heart. I'm looking for some comfort. I'm looking for some peace. I'm not getting it from him right now, or I'm not getting it from her. Lord, this is where I need you. So be honest about what your needs are. Two sentences. I can learn from the pain without living in the pain. I can take a lesson and move forward. We are invited to grow. We are invited to take our pain to the Lord. We're invited to pause and cast our burdens where they belong. I'm not going through a lot of physical pain right now. I'm not going through a lot of trauma right now. I don't want to sound like I understand everything. I'm going through some transition right now. It's my own story. I said some goodbyes on Friday to my students. And I'm a little unsure of what comes next. I'm excited about what comes next, but my school year wrapped up. That might not be your story. Transition might not be your pain. Maybe you are dealing with a relationship that is all wrong. Maybe you're dealing with a scary situation at home or at work. Maybe you're dealing with physical pain. Maybe you're dealing with health issues that are scary. I understand that all of our pain is unique. It's custom fit for what you have experienced. I understand. But the Lord understands more than I ever will, and more than your friends ever will. There's not a friend like Jesus. So I would invite us, as we look at the week ahead, and we look at the week behind, that we don't stay stuck in the painful experiences. Don't sit there and ruminate, just basking in the pain, because it won't serve you. It won't move you forward. But do take those painful memories to the foot of the cross. Remember the Lord is near, and give him your anxieties, your fears, and your pains. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you that you are capable and that in you is life and grace and goodness. Lord, we experience pain and it's real and it's not to be laughed at. But we want to bring those painful things to you and allow you to minister healing in our hearts. Lord, we bring you our anxiety, our fears, our brokenness. We thank you that in you is healing. In Jesus' name. Amen.